You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Well, good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halleck, and we are broadcasting live on Facebook as well while we are recording the podcast episode. So welcome to everybody who is watching out there in the Facebook land. Before we get fully started today, I want to jump in and, welcome the brand new listeners that have just been joining the Man Warrior King podcast in recent weeks. We've had a new influx of men who are joining the movement, a new influx of men who are reading the book, The DNA of a Man, and a new influx of, just kingdom-minded men who are looking for answers that they have not gotten from their normal church experience. So, this, my friends, is a problem. It's a problem that we are not getting the answers to the questions that we have from the church. That should be where all the answers lie. We should, of all people, have an advantage, and yet we don't. That's the topic of this podcast episode today, especially in relation to marriage. And before I get into that, I want to just remind you, the ranks of a doulum. This is our group mentorship group transformation initiative. It is kicking off in just a couple of weeks. I really highly encourage you to check it out. It's at manwarriorking.com/adullam. That's spelled A-D-U-L-L-A-M. manwarriorking.com/adullam. If you head there, you're going to read all about this 3 month plus coaching program where we go after learning how to think like a kingdom man so that we stop living in depression, discouragement, defeat, and self-doubt. Learning how to appropriate the power of the gospel so that we stop living defeated and we start living victorious. And we learn how to become confident, how to become assertive, how to become bold, how to know our identity so that we are secure and we know ourselves, rather than trying to let our wives define us, rather than looking to her to be our identity. And we talk about how to relate in a masculine, attractive way with our wives and our marriages. And we also go after a passionate, intimate connection with Jesus where you begin to hear God's voice more than you have before, and you begin to walk in miracles like you've never seen before, but you've only read about in the book of Acts. Yes, we go after all of those things in the ranks of a doulum. So I challenge you to do what it takes to join, because your life will never be the same, I promise you. So, enough said on that. Let's get back to the topic at hand. Why Christian husbands are at a disadvantage and what you can do about it. First of all, what is the disadvantage that we find ourselves in? And is that who are we disadvantaged compared to? So compared to men in the world who do not know Jesus, the average Christian man is at a disadvantage, particularly in regards to marriage. But it also spreads its tendrils into other areas of life as well. Because the men in the world who do not know much of church culture, they don't have bad theology that sinks into their mind and keeps them living in self, dare I say, hatred. Men of the church have inherited this culture of self-punishment, self-flagellation. We have to walk around hating ourselves because we're such wretched sinners, and yet we expect that our wives would look at us with admiration, respect, adoration, affection, warmth. We want her to see us some way, but we refuse to see ourselves that same way because we're so locked on this bad theology about the power of the gospel and the power of the blood of Jesus. Because we have this mindset that tells us that we are still just sinners saved by grace. Even after we're saved, all we are is a bunch of sinners. All we are is a bunch of wretches. We are nothing more than a junk heap that we're hoping Jesus can somehow shape up to kind of form into something that looks somewhat like a man. But really and truly, we're just this junk heap. This is how we see ourselves. And we have church teaching that promotes this. We have Christian friends that promote this. We have parents that brought us up that promote this. Hey, David, good to see you, my friend. Yes, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's right. So we have all of this bad thinking that tells us that we are just sinners. And even after Jesus has saved us, washed us with his blood, even after he has filled us with his spirit, none of that is enough to change our identity as wretched and worthless. And so, enter into marriage. We take this self perception into our marriage with us. And we see ourselves as just a step above, totally incapable. We see ourselves as completely incomplete. We see ourselves as having nothing good to offer. And anything possibly good that comes from us could never have anything to do with the fact that God made us good in the beginning. It's only because we are always screwing up, but somehow Jesus is doing something good through us and we can't even get it. I'm telling you guys, this is rampant. I have spoken to men time and time again where I've just complimented them. I've said, man, you are a good dad. And they refuse it. They say, no, I'm not. I'm not a good dad at all. It's just Jesus. I suck. It happens time and again. And I'm telling you, this has got to change. Look at Romans chapter 8 with me here. Let's see. I had it open. I don't know where the heck I was flipping around to as I was ranting just now. Romans chapter 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Guys, if you read Romans chapter 7, and only Romans chapter 7, it talks about how I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. And it says, oh, no, what a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? If we read those verses and we take those and those alone, we might be able to form an argument about how terrible we are, how wretched we are, right? I mean, it says it right there, oh, wretched man that I am. But this chapter is surrounded by the liberating truth of God and the new covenant that has come in after the law was fulfilled in Jesus. See, at the end of chapter 7 says this, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And then in chapter 8, it starts off saying, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore means, seeing all these things that I've just said, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Seems kind of contradictory, because he's just said what a wretched man he is. So what the heck's going on? Unless it's that because this is the way things were. This is the way things were in my flesh when I was bound under the law. What's up, Mike? Good to see you. When I was bound under the law, this is the way things were in my flesh. But now that I'm in Christ Jesus, I have access to every bit of life and righteousness and freedom because of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. So it says, seeing this, and that this is where I've come from, the wretched man stuck in the battle. Seeing all of that, now there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So do you understand this as a man? Do you understand that if you take into your marriage this spirit, an attitude of condemnation, what you are doing is you are putting on your wife the requirement and the responsibility to build you up and make you feel okay. And you are setting yourself up to only ever need from her and not be able to give anything to her. Because if you see yourself as a wretched man, what good do you have to offer her anyway? None. But we desperately want to be loved and admired. And so we'll constantly be looking to get that from her, rather than giving it out. Yes, just as Jesus is, so am I. That's right. Just as he is, so are we in this world. And Jesus said, even as the Father sent me, in the same way I send you. Jesus didn't come into this world completely void of his identity, completely lacking in any amount of self-respect or self-worth or even self-love. It talks about how he knew where he had come from and where he was going. He knew his identity in the Father. And from that place of security and confidence, he was able to pour himself out and serve and love. So we need to get this into our heads. We can't expect to create passion and desire and heat in our marriages if we are serving and pouring ourselves out for our wives from a place of weakness, from a place of emptiness, from a place of utter worthlessness. It's not going to work. I see that, Mike. Too freaking needy. Yeah. We are. I was. And if I'm honest with you, I find the tendency to dip back into that from time to time, but I see it for what it is now. And I know there's a different way. I know there's a way outside of being needy and whiny and trying to manipulate my wife to get what I want from her. And I've grown to the point where if I start to tend toward that again, I can see it for what it is and I have a game plan for getting out. So we have got, for the guys who are already married and who feel like they've done this thing wrong, who feel like they've already set a tone, set a pattern in their marriage of neediness, of always looking to their wives to define them and give them their fulfillment and their identity, to the guys who have set that pattern, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is no room for shame and walking around in regret and self-pity, wishing we had done things differently. There's no room for that. It's illegal in the kingdom, and it's not humble. It's proud and it's lazy. Because it's not getting down to work. It's not realizing I've screwed things up. But in Jesus, there are no dead ends. His mercy is new every morning, and he restores the years that the locust has eaten. So if you have engaged in your marriage in this way, if you have engaged in any relationships in this way, we can't wallow in it. We've got to just change it. And you want to know what to do about it. You want to know how to actually go about changing it. You do it by renewing your mind. I'm telling you, we look around at our lives and we see, I've blown it with my kids. I've blown it with my wife. We're so disconnected. I have failed so much. I've let Jesus down. I have not amounted to anything for the kingdom. I've done nothing. I'm so full of self-doubt. I'm so full of this hatred of who I've become. We have got to stop looking at all of that and start looking with tunnel vision at the truth of what God says over us. So if you are battling these feelings and it's translating into I don't want to say crappy, but maybe I should, a crappy marriage experience at the moment, then I challenge you to put on blinders and focus your eyes on the truth of what God says about you and nothing else. If you feel like you are not confident, then you focus in on how God has given me not a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Do you really believe that? Or do you believe that that's coming to you someday when you die and heaven comes? But for right now, you have a spirit of timidity, uncertainty, low-level discouragement. If you don't believe what the Bible says, if you don't believe God's declared truth over you, that is your fault, nobody else's. We have to train ourselves to believe according to his declared word, over and above our experience and what our eyes see. We have to begin to accept the fact that he honors us and calls us precious and gives men in exchange for us. We have to learn to really truly believe that we are called to reign in life with Jesus. Not to reign after we die, but to reign in life with him. We have to accept the fact that he says in John 17 that he gives us his glory. So rather than being some screw-up of a husband, you're a freaking catch. You are a blessing, and your wife is blessed to have you. We've got to abandon this crappy gospel. It's not the real one. The real one is news that's too good to be true. What if you are actually a new man today? And that's in reality. It's not just theoretically, theologically, somehow out there you're a new man, but you're still the same old crappy person who screws up all the same ways and you're stuck in all of your same old patterns. It says that whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So if you have been carrying this in your life, marriage, outside of marriage, wherever, it's time for you to repent of it. It's time for you to say, Jesus, I am so sorry that I have dishonored your work and your blood because I have refused your freedom. I've refused your love. I've refused the truth of what you say over me. And even though you call me clean, I call me dirty. And I've contradicted my Father. And I'm so sorry that I've been so arrogant to do so. I'm so sorry I haven't been humble enough to receive the gospel in all of its glory. I'm so sorry I have not been like a little child, but I've been some freaking smart grown-up who thinks that I know more than you do, and I explain away all of the truth that sounded too good to be true. I'm sorry, Jesus. Forgive me. Yeah, we've been a bunch of wimps. It's time that we stop. It's time that we stop living by how we feel. And I understand that is a challenge. And I know it intimately. Guys, if you don't know my story, there are a lot of new gentlemen in this movement right now. If you don't know my story, I've been battling a disease for 15 years. About halfway through that, I came to a point where I was bedridden and I only got up out of bed to go to the bathroom. That was it. And that was excruciating. The pain of walking was too much. And there I was, stuck in bed with a 2-year-old daughter that I could not hold because of the pain. And I searched the scriptures for what does God say about healing, because I had been told that healing was for yesterday, not for today. I had been told that if I was sick and I wasn't getting better, it must be God's will and he must have some higher purpose and something better to teach me. I had been told to be thankful for the sickness because it was building my character. I'd been told all these things and I was dying in body and spirit. I was dying under depression and discouragement and hopelessness because if this was God's will, what hope was there for me? And so I decided to find out in the Bible myself what it said. I had to throw away all of the garbage I had inherited from the church. And I looked in his word and I only saw that he heals. I only saw that sickness was an enemy. I only saw that Jesus' blood not only bought my freedom from sin, but also my freedom from sickness. And so I began to pray. Not just for myself, but I said, you know what? If my body isn't going to respond for whatever reason, then I'm going to pray for somebody else. And I began to pray for anyone who I could find, anybody who came across my path. And I had never seen any kind of miracles of healing before. And then once I just started doing it, I saw them. I've seen people healed of all kinds of things now. Even just literally just today, a brain tumor in process of healing, shrinking miraculously. I have had to embrace the truth of the healing power of Jesus Christ, even though I wake up with pain in my body. I refuse to let what I see with my eyes and feel be the thing that determines how I will live and what I will believe. And I challenge you to do the same. I challenge you to refuse how you feel and instead embrace faith. Because we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight, and we don't walk by feelings. This is what you do when your marriage is at a disadvantage. You embrace the gospel over yourself. And there's so much more, obviously, than just that when you're looking to resurrect the passion in your marriage. There's so much more. But if you try to do all these other things without a proper understanding of who you are, none of it's going to stand. Yeah, that's right. He bore our sickness. So, gentlemen, I want to close out the episode here. I just want to again remind you, check out the Ranks of a Doulam, because in that program, if you need this help to get after these things, that's where we're going to do it. Connected with other men, I lead the charge and we become a family. And we learn how to get strong and solid in our identities. We learn how to conduct ourselves as men in the way that our dads maybe never taught us, in the way that the church doesn't ever teach us. Where we allow ourselves to grow in confidence instead of worrying that it's such a sinful and arrogant thing. We allow ourselves to have opinions and to be bold and assertive instead of a pushover and the nice guy. I want to challenge you to check it out. ManWarriorKing.com/Adullam. It is fire, and I'm just excited for it. I've had a lot of conversations with gentlemen about it this time around. It's going to be amazing. Not only do we go after those things, but we go after how to be in marriage, how to rekindle passion, how to withstand when there's fights, and how do we conduct ourselves in the fight? How do we maintain our frame so that our wives can be drawn and attracted to us even while arguing with us? And we learn how to walk in miracles and hear God's voice. So come with me, check it out, manwarriorking.com/Adullam. And if you haven't gotten the book yet, pick it up, manwarriorking.com/DNA. Gentlemen, I love you. Much love. Bless you. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.